Welcome back to the Motor City Sports Rundown, your go-to source for all things Detroit sports. I am your host, and we have an absolutely loaded episode for you today. We are going to kick things off by talking about the Detroit Pistons, who find themselves in a very uncomfortable position after dropping Game 5 to the Cleveland Cavaliers.
It is hard to believe we are even having this conversation right now. Just a little while ago, the Pistons were up 2-0, looking completely dominant, and now they are heading into Game 6, facing elimination. It is going to be a massive test of character for this young roster, and we are going to break down exactly what went wrong and how they can fix it.
Absolutely. We will also be diving into the baseball diamond. Kevin McGonigal is not just a prospect anymore. He has officially graduated from that status. He is a cornerstone for the Tigers. And the recent narrative around him isn't just about his bat. His glove is catching up to that elite offensive profile.
The $150 million man. It is incredibly rare to see a front office commit that heavily, that early in a player's career. But when you see that coveted 80-grade hit tool in action at the major league level, it really starts to make sense why they locked him up for the next 8 years.
We have got plenty to unpack with both of those situations. And later in the show, we will take a quick look at the newly dropped Detroit Lions schedule and a dominant performance from Michigan State softball. But first, let's get right into the hardwood. Let's start the show with the Detroit Pistons. Game 6 of the Eastern Conference semifinals is officially set for Friday night at 7 p.m. Eastern at Rocket Arena in Cleveland. And guys, Detroit is suddenly facing elimination. The Cavaliers have completely stormed back from an early 0-2 deficit in this series to take a 3-2 lead, capturing a massive win in Game 5 in overtime, 117-113. It is a staggering reversal of momentum.
It really is hard to process. A week ago, we were sitting here talking about how Detroit's physical defense was wearing Cleveland down. We praised J.B. Bickerstaff for establishing this gritty, unapologetic identity that the Cavs seemingly had no answer for. Now, the Pistons are the ones who look like they are scrambling for answers. That Game 5 loss was an absolute heartbreaker, especially when you consider Cade Cunningham dropped 39 points. He played out of his mind, and it still wasn't enough to secure the win on the road. Cade was spectacular, but he frankly had to be. His usage rate is through the roof right now because the half-court offense has really bogged down against Cleveland's defensive adjustments over the last three games. The Cavaliers have started showing him different looks, trapping him higher up the floor and daring the secondary scorers to beat them. And on the other end of the court, James Harden turned back the clock. 30 points for Harden in Game 5. The Pistons' perimeter defenders just couldn't keep him off his spots when it mattered most, particularly in that overtime period. Harden's performance is exactly why Cleveland brought him in. They wanted a guy who could stabilize their offense in high-leverage playoff moments, and he delivered a masterclass. But looking at Detroit's side of things, the frustration is palpable. Bickerstaff and the players were incredibly vocal about a late-game sequence in Game 5, feeling they were on the wrong end of the whistle. But the NBA's last two-minute report came out and confirmed there were no missed calls on that specific play they were arguing about, which is always a bitter pill to swallow for a locker room. You expend all that energy arguing the call, hoping for some vindication from the league office, and they come back and say the officials got it right. It forces you to look in the mirror and realize you just didn't execute down the stretch. Bickerstaff has to get this team refocused quickly, because dwelling on the officiating won't win you Game 6. No, it won't. And there is an interesting wrinkle heading into Friday's matchup that could play a huge role. The Cavaliers are dealing with a bug in their locker room right now. Head coach Kenny Atkinson and key rotational shooter Sam Merrill are both reported to be dealing with illnesses. In a tight physical series like this, a disrupted coaching staff or a missing floor spacer like Merrill could actually swing a quarter, and that might be all the opening Detroit needs to get back into this.
Merrill's gravity on the perimeter has been a massive problem for the Pistons' closeouts. If he's compromised or simply unavailable, that allows Detroit's help defense to cheat a bit more toward the paint and clog up those driving lanes. But the bigger question for me is whether the Pistons can summon the sheer desperation required to win an elimination game on the road. They have been phenomenal all year, hitting that 60-win mark, but this is an entirely different kind of pressure.
It is the ultimate test of their rebuild. You have to remember, this is a team that was mired in a historic 28-game losing streak just 2 years ago. They have grown up fast. But closing out a veteran-heavy team like Cleveland requires a level of poise they are still developing. If they can just find a way to force a Game 7, they get to come back to Little Caesars Arena, where the crowd will be absolutely deafening. But they have to survive Friday night first.
And for the fans trying to watch, take note, this one is streaming exclusively on Amazon Prime Video. Tip-off is at 7 p.m. Eastern. It is going to be fascinating to see how Bickerstaff manages the rotation. Do you shorten the bench even further? Do you play Cade Cunningham 45-plus minutes?
You absolutely have to. You leave it all out there on the floor. There is no tomorrow if you lose. I expect Cunningham to play the entire second half if the game is close. He proved in Game 5 he can handle the offensive burden, but he desperately needs someone else to step up and give him a reliable secondary scoring option. You simply aren't beating Cleveland on their home floor with a one-man show. It has to be a collective effort.
Shifting gears over to the baseball diamond, let's talk about the Detroit Tigers and a guy who has rapidly become the talk of the town, Kevin McGonigal. He officially graduated from prospect status recently, crossing that 130 at-bat threshold for the 2023 season. And what a start to a career it has been since his major league debut back on March 26th.
It really has been a whirlwind. We are talking about a guy who was the 37th overall pick just back in the 2023 draft. His ascension through the minor league system was incredibly rapid, but the front office clearly saw everything they needed to see, handing a 21-year-old an 8-year, $150 million contract transformation in April. That is a massive financial commitment to a player with barely a month of major league service time under his belt. It really is the modern blueprint for locking up young talent. We have seen it around the league with other organizations. You buy out their arbitration years and their early free agency years to get cost certainty. But it only works if the player is a true foundational piece. And the scouts have been practically screaming from the rooftops about McGonigal's bat for years now. We are talking about a prospect with an 80-grade hit tool on the traditional 20-80 scouting scale. You almost never see an 80 grade handed out for pure hitting ability. It implies generational contact skills, and we are seeing it translate immediately. He doesn't just put the bat on the ball, he controls the barrel like a 10-year veteran. He recognizes spin out of the pitcher's hand, he rarely chases breaking balls out of the zone, and he uses the whole field. That is why he was able to jump to the big leagues so fast. The bat was undeniably ready. But what is really driving the conversation right now, and what the Free Press piece highlighted, is his glove.
Exactly. Coming up through the system, the consensus was always that he is definitely going to hit, but where does he actually play in the field? There were lingering questions about his arm strength and his lateral range at shortstop, with many analysts projecting him as a long-term second baseman or maybe eventually moving to third, but he has been playing shortstop at the major league level and genuinely impressing people with his defensive chops.
He is showing much better first-step quickness than the minor league scouting report suggested. He might not have the absolute cannon of a traditional power-hitting shortstop, but his internal clock is fantastic. He knows exactly how much time he has on every ground ball. His footwork is incredibly clean, and his transfers from glove to hand are lightning fast. That makes up for a lot of raw arm strength. If he can actually stick at shortstop long-term, that $150 million contract transforms from a solid investment into an absolute steal for the Tigers. An elite, high-average on-base machine who also plays premium defense at a premium up-the-middle position, that is an MVP-caliber profile.
It also gives the Tigers incredible roster flexibility moving forward. If he stays at short, you can allocate your financial resources toward power-hitting corner infielders or corner outfielders. If he eventually has to slide over to second base, he is still a massively valuable asset, but sticking it short is the absolute dream scenario. And right now, he is proving the doubters wrong on a nightly basis. You have to credit the player development staff, too. They didn't panic and immediately move him off the position when he was drafted. They let him work through his defensive mechanics in the minors, and now it is paying off at the highest level. At just 21 years old, McGonigal is firmly entrenched as a core piece of this Tigers lineup for the next decade.
And the scary part for the rest of the American League Central is that he is only going to get better as he sees more major league pitching. He is already laying off tough pitches that normally fool rookies. Once he starts naturally tapping into a bit more power as his body matures, the sky is the limit for him.
It is going to be a lot of fun watching him develop over these next few seasons. All right, let's hit a few more stories real quick before we get out of here.
Sounds good. We have got some news from the gridiron and the college softball diamond to cover.
The NFL officially dropped the 2024 schedule, and Lions Wire has already released their game-by-game predictions, projecting Detroit to finish with an 11-6 record. The slate is incredibly primetime heavy, opening with a massive Sunday night football clash against the Los Angeles Rams on September 8th.
They aren't hiding the Lions anymore. With matchups against the Cowboys, Texans, and Bills on the docket, this schedule is an absolute gauntlet. An 11-6 record might seem like a slight step back from last year's dominance, but given the strength of schedule, navigating this slate and still winning the division would cement them as a true Super Bowl heavyweight.
Over in East Lansing, the Michigan State softball team put together a dominant performance on Thursday night, blanking Illinois State 10-0 in a game that was called early due to the NCAA run rule. You couldn't ask for a better late-season showing. Pitcher Madison Taylor was absolutely brilliant, throwing a complete game two-hit shutout. When your offense is hanging 10 runs on the board and your ace is dealing like that, it builds a ton of confidence heading into the postseason tournaments. That is the exact kind of momentum you want to have in May. And that is going to do it for today's episode of the Motor City Sports Rundown.
We will be back next time to break down all the fallout from Pistons Game 6. Let's hope they can force a Game 7 back in Detroit. Fingers crossed. Thanks for listening and enjoy the games, everyone.